Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Start of a special batch of episodes, this one, as I'm joined by Matt Anderson. And you're going, who's Matt Anderson? Well, I shall let Matt Anderson tell you who he is. Matt, why don't you say who you are?
My name is Matt Anderson. I've been working for Weird Miniatures a couple of years. I actually have a long history in video game development. I used to run a company called Cobalt Flux, which was well known for gaming in the physical education community. We'd create games for schools and institutions to kind of make physical education fun. That involved a lot of kind of dancing products like Dance Dance Revolution and the rest. And I also, I have a master's in entertainment arts and engineering. I got hooked up with Weird because I was a, Malifaux fan, and, right out of college to finish my master's, I had to do an internship. It was part of the degree requirement. And, my background is in programming and video games, but, to really kind of tighten down my design skills, I thought it'd be fun to work in tabletop for a while. So, Weird at that time had a 6-month internship opening up, and it seemed just like a great opportunity. You know, let's do some board games, let's do some minis games, get that experience. And then I was planning on going back into the video games industry shortly after. However, Eric Johns and I really hit it off, and during that internship we had the opportunity to pitch projects, and I pitched one called Fall Schematic, which got picked up. So I've been working on it fairly ceaselessly for the last year and a half or so, I want to say.
Okay, so Fall Schematic is what we're here to talk about on these episodes, and I know very, very little about it. apart from what I've read on the website, I know next to nothing. So what's the sort of elevator pitch for Fall Schematic?
Yeah, absolutely. The game itself is kind of been under wraps for a while because the majority of Weird has been, of course, you know, very focused on other titles. I'm a bit of a splinter, and actually I'm more formally connected with a company, Drawn by Clouds, now, which is doing the app portion of Fall Schematic. But Fall Schematic is a game that takes place in a science fiction universe where humans have effectively left behind their organic bodies, and they just exist as digital beings now. And part of what makes this idea really fun is that the networks in which the humans live are like this imaginative digital space. You can kind of think of the Matrix, but not boring like, you know, downtown New York. It's crafted from their imagination. But by the same token, there's still this kind of abandoned physical space outside their networks that's just this ruined, overgrown kind of heap of rubble that represents, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of technology that's just been abandoned. And kind of the crux conflict of this universe is, out of nowhere in the last 50 years, this entity, this kind of magical entity that no one understands called a glitch, has started eroding both the digital space, which in this case is represented by the app game, and it's animating old technology in the physical space and just trying to eradicate humanity. Physical space is represented by the card game. So the game is cool in concept in that you've actually got two games. You've got a digital game represented in digital media. You've got physical space represented in physical media. And the two titles kind of come together to tell the stories of this one universe in a really unique way.
Okay, so it's a physical card game and a digital RPG, all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. But the two are entirely independent titles. So, you know, if digital RPGs are not your thing, you can just enjoy the card game. If card game's not your thing, you can just enjoy the digital RPG. There's no obligation to play both, but if you like both and you enjoy both, then they interact in some very cool ways to kind of like pass you back and forth between the two and give you like expanded play experiences in both. And we can get into that in a bit, just in terms of how they interact, if you'd like.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm-hmm. So is it set on Earth, or is it set on a a different alternate planet.
Actually, specifically unspecified now, just to kind of spoiler proof everyone.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
I've looked at the website, and the art is there is very anime style.
Oh yeah.
Was that a deliberate design decision on your part?
It definitely was. It's certainly aesthetically different from Weird's other titles of note. Part of that is because the game itself, especially the part handled by Drawn by Clouds, is going into a different space with kind of different expectations, So, I mean, it's going after a crowd that enjoys video games like Persona, Etrian Odyssey, JRPGs.
Yeah.
But the cooperative card game, and you'll notice this as you see more of the card game art get exposed over the course of this Kickstarter campaign and just later into the year, has a much kind of darker, grittier feel. It's representing like this ruined, abandoned physical world. So the card game is actually going to feel a bit aesthetically closer to what you'd expect, Weird products to look like. And we really like that dichotomy between the two, because you've got like these super pristine kind of anime style characters that look very sharp and clean in the digital half of the game. And then you've got kind of this grungy, realistic, darker feel in the physical half of the world. And it creates a nice split, and it also works well because it speaks particularly to both audiences in terms of what they kind of like and expect and want to see.
Okay, cool. So where did you get the inspiration? I mean, it's a pretty novel idea. I mean, when you were explaining it just now, I thought of there's a relatively bad Bruce Willis movie where everyone has robot bodies and they just sit on their couches, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head where everyone is just a disembodied, effectively electronic presence. Where did you draw your ideas from? I mean, are you a big cyberpunk fan, William Gibson, etc.?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely passionate about cyberpunk. I don't play like a ton of tabletop RPGs. The one I did play a lot of was Shadowrun. So
right.
those types of universes really fascinate me and kind of draw me in. But the actual conceit of the game is kind of interesting, because it was more born from the mechanics I wanted to put together.
Oh, okay.
I was in this really interesting space where I'd always done video game development, very comfortable with that. I put out probably like, I want to say six titles. One of them got really big. It's called Eerie and it's on Desura. It's been like between number 1 and 20 over the past 2 years over like 2000 games. So
right.
Did very well, but I found this unique opportunity to work with a company that does physical games, and I didn't understand anything about that universe. And I thought, God, this is a really unique blend of kind of expertise, because you don't usually get people who do minis games and people who do video games in the same room talking about how do we bring these skill sets together.
Yeah.
So it just kind of made sense, I mean, it seemed great to have a world in which there was a digital half and a physical half, and you could directly kind of inject those mediums and mechanics into just that overall theme, have that nice reflection, which is kind of fun in and of itself.
Yeah. So the game is completely your baby, is that right? I mean, you've conceived it and have the controlling hand on it, as it were.
Yeah, more or less, I would. Well, of course, in any creative endeavor, there's a lot of give and take,
Yeah.
There's certainly a lot of Eric in this, definitely for the better, Eric's doing the art direction, so a lot of these anime-style characters you see, especially specifically the NPCs, are working out of a union between Eric and one of our artists, Drake. So, but in terms of like the fluff, a lot of the video game mechanics, and just the overall pitch and concept, I'm kind of like a go-to guy. for just, you know, making sure it all comes together and looks aesthetically pleasing and plays well.
Cool. So from I mean, we're going to talk about this later. I mean, the game is hitting Kickstarter next week.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
So how do you go about sort of pitching a completely hybrid game? I mean, that must have been, especially as you say you were interning effectively, that must be a daunting process to go through, even if you've been successful in previous lives.
No, that was fascinating, actually. I mean, we were somewhat lucky in the fact, I guess, that the pitches were invited from us. You know, they were expected of us. We actually were asked to put together pitches. So we just put together a bunch of properties. All of us that were working here, we put together presentations. I've done a lot of pitching in my life over kind of just many different endeavors. So it was kind of familiar to me. I was able to put together kind of what I thought was a, you know, nice package and presented it well. And I convinced them that I had the expertise to pull it off. So if there are any other specific details you'd like to know, I can bring them up. But more or less, I mean, it was, you know, 15-minute presentation and I just got a green light. Worked out great.
Those are the sorts of pitches you really like to be able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Worked out wonderfully. Yeah. Feel very blessed that everything worked out the way it did, and everyone's really happy and loving working on it. So,
so how long have you been working on it? I mean, how, you know, from a nascent idea?
It's probably been a year and a half for me now, but the app side of the game is kind of more of a daunting task to put together.
Right.
And, you know, one of the downsides of me coming in as a digital person into a physical games studio is that I'm kind of the only person with that skill set. So I've been kind of one-manning what really like a 3 or 4 man team should have been doing over the past year and a half. But by the same token, it's just lined up everything perfectly so both titles can launch towards the end of this year. And yeah, it's been a long time for me. I mean, I've been writing, doing fluff, doing creative content, working here and there on other weird titles, of course. Like I do some writing for Through the Breach. I've done some writing for Ep2E.
What did you write for those?
For Through the Breach, I did some of the character profiles, or I guess the archetype profiles. Like I did the Gunslinger, I did the Performer. For Storm of Shadows and M2E, actually Storm of Shadows, I did a bunch of the bios for, like maybe even up to a half in the book. You know, I did like the Iron and just a ton of fluff for that. And then for M2E, I actually did design work, with Justin. So I designed Seamus and the Vix and Colette and all of their respective models. I did Von Schill and I did, Lilith and all of her crew and models. So I actually don't have writing in the MTE book, but I've got probably, I don't know, 5 crews and all their associated models under my belt. So that was good fun.
Okay. All right. So we can't blame you for any of the ones that people were going, what about this stupid crew there? Because you didn't do Pandora.
No. It's really interesting because I've been so deep in code over a long, long time that I actually have been fairly and sadly divorced from Malifaux over the past 6 months simply because I've been working this. So I don't want to say 6 months, but it's been some time. I haven't kept up on the most recent betas. But yeah, those 5 crews are specifically mine.
Cool. Mm. So all the people who are on the weird forums complaining about Bells having cast 8 on Lore, then should send hate mail to Matt.
Oh yeah. Well, and I should say too that and far for the better, all of those crews have gone through a lot of testing and have had Justin's guiding hand on them. So, but I will happily be a hate mail shield for Justin. So point it all directly at me. I'll take some pressure off that dude because he's a one-man army.
Well, he does seem to be, and he does seem to be slowly going mad on Twitter when his baby keeps him awake in the middle of the night.
Yeah, no, mad genius, more like it. Justin, Justin's a brilliant dude. But yeah, no, Justin helped balance all of those crews extensively, so he's got at least as much love and heart in all of those as well. But
cool. I suppose your hope is that this takes off and that you don't have to do Malifaux anymore.
yeah, no, well, it'll be fascinating to see how it goes. I don't have any disregard for Malifaux at all, but actually, me personally, I am now foremost employed by Drawn by Clouds, and I do consulting work for Weird, specifically right. In the card game. So I would invite the opportunity to work on Malifaux again in the future, but I don't know if it's going to be a likely opportunity for at least the next, I don't know, year or more. So probably second edition will be well past done by that point.
Yeah. Well, we're at our time for this episode. Oh. So next episode, I think we should get into some more about the background and talk about the different factions that you can play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how the fluff for the world all interacts. So until then, I've been Mike.
I've been Matt.
We'll speak to you next time.
Later.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.